Like, our goal is to finish what we started for Parshas Korach, and I can't just pick it up where we left off because we have to remind ourselves of what we spoke about. But you can definitely hear the recording of the Shir if you like. It was just less than a week ago, and the theme of our discussion was why Yaakov Avinu prayed that his name should not be mentioned in the Torah, in the lineage of Korach, which goes back to Yitzhar, to Kahas, to Levi, but not to Yaakov. And we asked the obvious question, anyone could figure out, it's transparent that Yaakov is the father of Levi, who's the father of Kahas and Yitzhar. What does Yaakov gain by omitting his name? And the thrust of our answer was based on the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. So we think and we believe that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh gives us an amazing insight into what Gehenim is all about. Now normally, we don't spend any time thinking about Gehenim, but in this case, maybe we'll see Dafka the Chesed in Gehenim. And to appreciate that, of course, we mentioned the insights of the Shalah Kadosh in answering the question why Moshe chose this particular punishment for Korach, for Adoso, namely that they should go down below the ground to Sheol Chayim, alive. And what's going to happen down in Sheol, and here the Shalah is basing himself on the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek that describes Rabbah Bar Bachana listening to Korach Adoso, who are at least once a month declaring from underground Moshe Emes Visaroso Emes Fehim Badoim. And as we pointed out, in the name of the Shalah, this is a kind of vidui. And if we assume, which the Shalah assumes, that ain't tshuva, ain't vidui liachar misa, then Moshe Rabbeinu betuvo, having compassion on Korach, who would have been completely excluded from any connection to Olam Haba, any connection to Tchias HaMesiv, had he died, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to keep him alive so that he could do vidui. But we quoted the Taras Chaim in Sanhedrin. His opinion is that there's a vidui in Gehenim, and even the Rishoyim will be able to recite vidui and do tshuva after Misa, posthumous tshuva, posthumous vidui. And the Taras Chaim bases his conclusion on a Gemara in Erevin, in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, darshaning a pasuk in Tehillim. And the pasuk in Tehillim, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi interprets it, is all about Gehenim, and mentions the Ovrei is referring to those Jews who unfortunately were Ovrim, al Ritzono Shel Mokom, they transgressed the will of God. B'Emek refers to the deep parts of Gehenim, not very pleasant. HaBocha, and there they are Bochim Umoridim Dmos. And yet at the end of the Pasuk, to our really shocking surprise, Yatem Mora, that they are Matzdik Aleim Esadin, and they declare the righteousness of the Almighty and His justice, and they declare Yofa Danta, Yofa Zachisa, Yofa Chiyavta, Yofa Tikanta Gehenim L'Rishoyim, Ganeim L'Tzadikim, and this act of recognition, and if you will, declaring an admission that they, the Rishoyim, deserve what they got with all the fires of Gehenim, that itself is a vidui, in which, says the Taras Chaim, the Rishoyim achieve a tshuva, a kapara, through their vidui, even liachar misa. And this really leads us to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh and his explanation of a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which he completely rejects on a surface level. In other words, the Gemara is not what it seems like, because the Or HaChaim cannot tolerate the simple pshat in the Gemara. Reish Lakish in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuftes Amid Beis darshins every one of the names from Korach all the way up to Yaakov Avinu in a very negative way. Every name has a negative connotation in the context of the rebellion of Korach and that great sin. Korach is Nasa Korcha B'Yisrael. Imagine if you have a head of hair on your head and it is a bald spot. So Korach, Miloshen Korcha, bald spot, is the bald spot in Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael no longer presents itself in its beauty and its glory. It has now a bald spot. Korach is the son of Yitzhar. And Yitzhar is the same Shorish as Tzaharayim, the afternoon, when the sun is at its zenith and the heat of the day is at its pinnacle. And that heat represents God, so to speak, heating up the world as a punishment for Korach. Yitzhar is Ben Kahas. And we're going to dash in the name Kahas, Shehika Shine Molidov. And Afatah Hakas Shinov, we're reminded of. It means that the teeth start shuddering, almost like bitterness, because the ancestors are so shocked that such a descendant as bad as Korach descended from them. That's Kahas. And Levi is Shanasa Leviya B'Gehenim. Leviya means an escort. There's an entourage going together with Korach into Gehenim. That's his whole assembly. The Gemara says, what about Yaakov? And the Gemara says that even Yaakov's name is a pejorative name in this context. Sha'okav Atzmo L'Gehenim. That Korach is, you know, walking on the heels, because Yaakov is Milosh and Ekev, which is the heels, and his entourage is going on his heels into Gehenna. So the Gemara says, no, we're not going to use that drasha because Yaakov was Mavakish Rachman Alatzmo, and his name was omitted. Says the Archaim, how could it be? All these great tzaddikim, we're taking their names, the name is very holy, the name is indicative of the essence, and we're distorting it almost in a sense by darshaning it in a negative, pejorative way. How can we do such a thing? And not only that, the Gemara says, V'lechshov Nami Yaakov, that even Yaakov's name could be interpreted in a very negative way. And just to repeat only the highlights of the Archaim's thesis, he speaks about God creating the world, and the world is created, and now we're talking on a spiritual level, like a neta, like a tree that has branches. And when one person, if he's guilty of sin, then his sin is pogam. It creates a blemish on that branch of the tree. And not only that, but it has sort of like a ripple effect, a domino theory. Going backwards, it goes from the branch back to the root, or back to the branch that generated it. And the pagam, that diseased, contaminated branch of the tree, now by contagion, will go back to its shoresh, the root or the branch that created it. And this is really what happened historically, that God created Adam HaRishon. That was this beautiful, perfect neta, this ilan, this wonderful kedusha and sanctity that Malach HaShos think they have to worship Adam HaRishon. But in the aftermath of the sin, which is pogame, the anafei kedusha, and this is going to go on for generation after generation as the people anger God and violate His will, until finally we get Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu begins a reversal process in which he tries to heal, so to speak, these blemishes on the branches of the tree. He tries to cure them and purify them. He is challenged by 10 major tribulations, and with each one, he, in a sense, purifies the root until the tree, a new tree, is about to emerge. But we're not yet ready for that. We still need a bearer of psolas. We have Yishmael, who comes from Avram Avinu. Then we get to the next level of Yitzchak, and Yitzchak further cleans up, or by cathartic, purifies the branches. And then that reaches its pinnacle, of course, in the Akedah. But nevertheless, we still have a psolus, and that's Esav, until finally we get Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, which is an neshama that is perfect without any dofi, without any blemishes, he creates, so to speak, a brand new tree. And this is reflected in the Gemara Bava Metzia that describes Yaakov Avinu as Shufraya de Yaakov Me'ein Shufraya de Adam Kadma. Yaakov Avinu's countenance and his beauty can only be described as resembling that beauty of Adam HaRishon. And what this means, says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, is that there's no psoles, there's no pgam or blemish. It's a recreation, so to speak, of a new Ilan which Yaakov has planted, and from this Ilan come 12 branches, each one of them is a beautiful branch that is connected back to Yaakov Avinu, the source, the origin, the root, and it's all the Kedusha B'Tara. And then we get Levi. Levi, of course, is one of the 12 branches from Yaakov Avinu. Levi fathers three other branches, which are Gershon, Kohos, Umarori. Kohos, in turn, is the father of another four branches of this tree. That's Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Yitzhar gives rise, or shall we say, generates a branch which is called Korach. Now, when Korach comes to take his branch and convert it from a pure branch on the tree of Yaakov Avinu, and now to blemish it, then it has a reverse domino effect. That pagam of Korach is going to go up one level, and from that level of pagam to the higher level, and it's going to go back and back and back. It's going to take us through Levi, and from Levi, it's going to take us back to Levi's root, and that's Kohos, and from Kohos back to Kohot's root, or his branch, and that's back to Yitzhar. So now, back to Levi. So we have Korach, who's now impacting in a negative way, blemishing the Anaf that generated him, that's Yitzhar. From Yitzhar we go back up to Kohos, from Kohos up to Levi, and now it's going to go back up and contaminate, if you will, the source, the root of this great, beautiful Ilan, and that's Yaakov Avinu. So Yaakov Avinu now prays to Hashem, leave my name out. There's much more to this leaving my name out than meets the eye. On a deeper level, says the Or Chaim HaKadosh, what Yaakov Avinu is praying is that his root, his firm, solid foundation, the origin of this tree, should not be impacted by this domino theory that starts with the blemish of Korach and goes up the line. It shouldn't go all the way up to Yaakov. Why? And here the Or Chaim says something mind-boggling. Yaakov Avinu had in mind Korach, the best interest of Korach. And Yaakov felt that if the pagama of Korach would go all the way back to the Ikara Elon, which is Yaakov, then Korach would be completely cut off from any relationship to Kedusha, to sanctity, to purity. He would have no, it would be an irreversible situation. He would have passed the point of no return. Only if there's something in the Ikar Shoresh that has not been impacted, that still remains pure and sanctified, then Korach still has some Shoresh. He has still has some relationship to his roots. He's not completely alienated from his roots as far as Kedusha and spirituality is concerned. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu's prayer is really a prayer for the Koach HaChet of Korach to be limited, to be restricted. There should be a wedge. It shouldn't go all the way back to the Ikar HaShorish, which is in Yaakov Avinu's Ilan. So that now there's a possibility for Korach to reconnect at some point with Kedusha. And if we put this together with the Shita of the Shalah, as we saw, that Korach is actually able to recite vidui and to do tshuva and to find himself back in the fold, and on a monthly basis, as we saw in the Gemara of Rabba Baruch Hanna in Masechet Baba Basra, he, Korach and his Eda, are declaring Moshe Emes v'Toraso Emes. Their rebellion was against Moshe and his Torah, and now they're doing tshuva and vidui, reciting in a confession of their sin, that Moshe Emes v'Toraso Emes. That's the possibility for Korach to reconnect back to his Shoresh, back to Yaakov Avinu, and hence to do tshuva and vidui and to be reinstated into the fold. And here we pointed out that the pasuk at the end of Tanakh, Titein Emes LeYaakov, reveals what it is about Yaakov that we all need to connect to, every single Jew. Yaakov is Emes. What is the Emes of Yaakov? And how is the Emes of Yaakov implanted in every single Jew? The Gemara tells us that Yisrael afal pisha chata Yisrael hu. This is the Yisrael, the Yaakov Avinu of Titein Emes LeYaakov. Emes means a Dover HaMeskayim LeOlam Va'ed. Emes is solidly rooted in the ground. It is absolutely true and it will live forever and ever. Every Jew has a point, a spiritual, a spark within him of Emes, of the ability to reconnect with immortality, with infinity, with purity, with ultimate spirituality. Every Jew has an akuda achas, bepnimius halev, inside, sometimes it's deep down. It's the nitzotz eloki. It is the divine spark that is the root of his neshama. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants this spark in every Jew, called Echad Yisrael, and the pagam of his sins will not reach that nekuda pnimis, that nitzot zeloki, the shorish haneshama, the Yaakov and the Emes within us. And that means that the Jew will not pass the point of no return. He could always return to Emes. If we ask the question when Korach declares, and this is his monthly declaration, Moshe Emes v'torosa Emes, that Moshe Emes connects him back to the Emes of Yaakov Avinu. And in the light of the Ohr Chaim, the Yaakov Avinu supplication was accepted by the Almighty, and his Kedusha as the Makar, the Shoresh of the Ilan, that replaces, of course, the Ilan of Adam Arishon Kodem HaChet, that is unblemished, it remains pure, and Korach now could connect to that Emes. That Emes of Moshe Emes v'Toros Emes is really in truth the Emes of Titein Emes LeYaakov. It's the connection back to Yaakov. It's the ultimate tikkun to rectify the sin. And this was a very, very severe sin of Korach, but he hasn't passed the point of no return. Why? Because Hashem, in his compassion, accepted the supplication of Yaakov Avinu, and there is still a Shoresh of Kiddush of Emes in Korach. Korach can still reconnect to that Emes. And hence, as we saw the Sofei Tevos of Tzadik HaTamar Yifrach, Kuf, Resh, Ches, is Korach. It means that Korach, as a result of the great merit of the tefillah of Yaakov Avinu, whose name would be omitted, means that there's no pgam in the Nekudas Emes of Yaakov Avinu, and even Korach, despite his terrible, terrible avera, still has the Nekuda Pnimis of the Emes of Yaakov Avinu. Therefore, when he recites Vidui Moshe Emes v'Toros Emes, he means to declare that the Emes is engraved in his neshama. That's the Nekudas Emes within his neshama, and that's the Nekuda of Yaakov Avinu, Titein Emes LeYaakov, which Korach can reconnect to. And the last thing we discussed in the Shir, which we gave last week, but again, in Chutz Haaretz, they're still up to Korach, so here in Eretz Yisrael, we've already passed Korach, we're up to Chukas, and we already gave a Shir, actually, two shirim on Korach, on Chukas this week, but I want to complete, as I promised, the beginning of the shir on Korach, and that's what we're trying to complete. We ended the shir with a discussion of the famous Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah on the creation of man. And Omer Av Simon, B'shasha Baruch Hu Livros Adam Arishon, he asks the Malachim, for their wisdom, their counsel, is this a good enterprise? Is it worth creating man? And in the course of this long medrash, Rav Simon claims that one malach by the name of Emes puts his thumbs down and he says it's not worth creating man because man is mole shkarim. He's kulo shkarim. He's full of lies and fabrications. And from the perspective of Emes, There's no way that we can tolerate the creation of man. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in response? He hears the claim of Emes, and he takes Emes and thrusts him, he throws him down into the Eretz. Hence, Daniel says the Pasuk, Vatishlach Emes Aretz. So the Malachi Ashores are up in arms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you asked for a counsel from Emes. Did you expect him to kowtow and just say whatever you want? You know, certain people, they know what the boss wants to hear. Furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch, by throwing Emes down into the Eretz, you're being mevaza, you're really embarrassing or humiliating, you're defiling the chosem, the very seal of your existence, God. You are Emes. And furthermore, what happens is that in the aftermath of the arguments of the angels that are up in arms because HaKadosh Baruch threw down Emes, we have Tala Emes Min Aretz. And that's based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Emes Me'aretz Titzmach. And all the Mefarshim raised the following question. What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu thinking? Mimanafshah. If he would have, and he certainly could have exercised his omnipotence, he doesn't need a haskama, he doesn't need the agreement and the okay, the license and permission from Emes or any of the Malachim to create man. Nothing can stop God. He's free. If, on the other hand, God really meant to say, well, if there's an objection and a valid reason not to create man, then I'll decide not to create man. If his counsel, taking counsel from the Malachim, was a serious one, then, which again is hard to believe in and of itself, but then why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond by throwing Emes into the Aretz? And then afterwards, Tala Emes Min Aretz. Well, if he's going to take Eretz out of the Aretz, then the whole exercise was a futile one. To throw Emes down and then take him up, what's it all about? So we begin to answer this question by understanding a Zohar. And this Zohar is going to reveal to us something about Gehenna. And as I said at the outset, we don't usually talk about Gehenna. That's not always our first topic on the agenda. But in this case, there's an amazing insight into how Gehenna works. We always understand that Gehenna is punishment. That's one of the Yisodei Amunah. We believe in Schar V'Onesh, in reward and punishment. Here's the most intense, harsh punishment, which is the Eish of Gehenna. Frightening. Says the Zohar, quoting a memra of Rabbi Yehuda, that on the one hand, the purpose of the Eish of Gehenna is Ladun Es HaRishoyim. It certainly is a meeting out of justice and punishment for the evil perpetrated by the Rishoyim. That's for sure. But there's something more profound. The heat of the Eish of Gehenna, where does it come from? Did you ever ask that question? You know, some might say it came from the core of the earth. And you'd have to look at a sugya in Perek Kira in Shabbos about Chamei Tveria. But leaving that sugya out for a moment, according to the Zohar, Gehenna, which is an Eish Boer that's burning, Yom HaVelayla, is a result of the same heat which was generated by the Rishoyim when the Yetzer Hara entice them to do evil. This is an amazing concept. Gehenna is boer, is burning, bitokef, meaning as a result of a certain power, a certain energy force that generates this heat or fire of Gehenna. It's the chom of the Yetzer of the Rishoyim, the heat. You know, we talk about people who are guilty of criminal acts because of the heat of the moment. The heat of the moment. A passion of heat. Well, that's what the Yetzer is all about. The Yetzer generates this kind of heat. And as a result, the Rishayim, who kowtow, who simply buckle to the heat of and the enticement of the Yetzer, that's the heat that's really the source of sin, the cause of sin. The Yetzer is heat. And if this be the case, then we might have an unbelievable insight into what Gehenna is all about. Let's mention another Orach Chaim. Until now, we're mentioning the Orach Chaim in the context of Parshas Korach. Let's look at the Orach Chaim back in Parshas Achrimos, on the Pasuk V'lokachas Shnei HaSeirim, there he writes that Tnan B'Mishnas Chasidim, he invokes the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Avos, Hosem Mitzvah Achas, Konelos Sanegar Echad, but here's the punchline. Via Over Avera Achas, when a person commits one criminal sin, then Konelo Kategar, he generates a prosecuting attorney up in Shemayim. And the Rechaim interprets that to mean, based on the Zohar that we saw, that this creation of a kategor is really the Esh of Gehenna. The sin itself is a result of this fire, this heat, this passion of the Eitz Hara. And that passion, which causes the evildoer to sin, because he succumbs to the enticing influence of the passion and the heat of the Eitz Hara, that heat itself is a kategor, is going to prosecute against him, which means that when the prosecutor demands a certain punishment, the punishment is going to be this Eish itself, the chom of the Eitz Hara that brought about the sin. We understand, mistakenly, that punishment means something from the outside. It's external. You know, a person commits a crime, and we call upon the executor to beat him up and maybe even kill him. And that's an external punishment. No, it's much more profound than that. The punishment is really a boomerang from the sin itself. You throw a ball against a wall and it comes back. The Eish that the chote, that the sinner used, or he actively energized himself to do and commit and implement the affair, that energy force of the Eish is itself going to come back to haunt him, to punish him, at the time of Gehenna. So the Eish of Gehenna is not some sort of external punishment. It's really inherent. It's built into the crime itself. The crime jumps back. This is perhaps the theme or the thesis of Dostoevsky, the famous Russian author, in Crime and Punishment, that the punishment is built into the crime. And in this light, perhaps we could understand what the Medrash describes as HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to the Malach of Emes, when the Malach says it's not worth creating man, let's take Emes, let's put our thumbs down on the enterprise of creating man, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes Emes and thrusts him down to the earth. What was the message? What was the symbolic act of taking Emes and thrusting him down into the earth, only to bring him back up again in the aftermath of the arguments of the Malachim that raise the roof? The Eish of Gehenna, as we said, has its root in the Eish of Chimum, of the heat of the Eitz Hara that causes man to sin. Man takes that heat force and it projects him to implement the sin. All of the sins of man are really a result of this Eish, this Chom. They are, in effect, an external part of man. Man, Bechitzonius, on the outside, is influenced and projected by this Eish, by this Chom, to do sin. Inside, in the Pnimius, in the essential foundation of man, there's an Akud of Emes, of Yaakov Avinu, that's hidden below the surface, inherent in man's soul. Echad mi Yisrael. Everyone, every member of Klai Yisrael has that Nekudas Emes, which is perfect without any blemish. So what happens with this Eish that was the Eish of Avon, of sin, that's now the Eish of Gehenna? What it does is, this Eish, is it's sorefes Hachelik Achitzoni Shel Adam, the part of man that was blemished and contaminated by this Eish, which was, as we said before, the Chom of the Eitz Hara that projected him to do the evil. That part of man is the externalities of man, is the Chitzoni of man. That became blemished as a result of his sin, that external chom, that esh that projected him to sin. And now the esh of Gehenna is going to reverse the process of pagam, of blemish. It's going to burn out those contaminated, you know, molds and dermatological, so to speak, pathological manifestations of the heat and the pagam in the neshama as a result of the heat. All that has to be burnt out. Burnt out by the same force that created it. It's sort of like you take the poison, the toxic element of a dangerous spider, and you use that toxic element to cure the person. And the fire now, instead of projecting man to sin, will posthumously in Gehenna burn out all those pagam. And how does that happen, and why does that happen? Because the Rasha in Gehenna, as we saw before in the Medrash, in the Gemara in the Sanhedrin, is declaring, Ribono Shel Olam, Yofa Danta, Yofa Zachisa, Yofa Chiyavta. He is reciting a Vidui at Tzidik Adin. He understands that the Eish that he created and that was responsible for sin is going to be the Eish that boomerangs back into him and burns him and cleans him out, so to speak. That's the judgment of God. That's the Midah Keneged Midah. That's the perfect Yofa Danta. And by acknowledging that this is the proper way, that it makes sense that that very Eish should now be the Eish HaBoeres B'Gehenom, the Rosh is now doing a Tikkun, and now the Chitzonius, which was contaminated by the Pagam of sin, now is burnt away. You know, take it, peel it away, layer by layer. What you're left with is the bare truth, the foundation of the Neshama, the Emes of Yaakov Avinu. And it's the same experience as Korach, who declares Moshe Emes v'Torasa Emes. If that be the case, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu consults with the Malachim, should we create man or should we not? Chesed comes forward and says man should be created because he's a Gomel Chasodim. Emes comes forward and says Al Yivra because Kulo Shkarim. In other words, why create man when man is full of Rishayim? There's so many Rishayim amongst man. And these Rishayim Akulo Shkarim, they're so full of Averis and Avonos. Maybe it's a better idea not to create man. So what does that Kodesh Baruch Hu do? He takes Emes and he thrusts him down to the earth, Shenemar Vatashlech Emes Arza. What does this mean on a deeper level? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by thrusting Emes into the earth, he's giving us a remez. He's alluding and teaching us that the Emes can only be created, so to speak. Emes can only, we can only clarify the Emes and project the Emes in the Aretz by Bnei Adam, by human mortal beings who are here today, who are gone tomorrow, made up of physicality. And here they have two choices. One approach is to study Torah's Emes, to dedicate themselves and commit themselves to Torah's Emes, to the Mitzvah Hashem. And then they will reveal the Emes in this world. And Baruch Hashem, there are those tzaddikim who, although they're mortal and physical, they overcome the Yetzirah. They're dedicated and completely loyal and committed to the Emes of Torah. And that they do in their lifetime walking on the earth. But there's another method, an alternative road for Emes. And that's the Emes not on the surface of the earth, but the Emes that's below the earth, in the belly of the earth. And that's for the Rishoyim. If the Rishoyim will not dedicate themselves to the Emes of Torah during their lifetime, then posthumously, as a result of the process of the Eish Bo'eres in Gehenom, which is going to allow their inner inherent essence, namely the Nekudah of the Nitzotz Eloki of the Emes of Yaakov, to come forward, once we clear away and peel away all these peels, all these outer layers. So as a result of the Sreif of the Eish of Gehenom, on the Chelek HaChitzoni of the Shoim, what's left is Emes, the Emes of Yaakov. Do you hear this, Rav Osai? As a result of the Eish of Gehenom, I can't repeat this enough times, no matter how many times. as a result of the Eshem Gehenna, what comes out, what's exposed, is Emes. Hence, we have the declaration of Korach, that Moshe Emes v'Toraso Emes. We have the declaration of other Rishayim, Yafedanta, your judgment is Emes. And how is this possible? Because as a result of the Sreif for the Boeres, the Eish HaBoeres, the Gehenom, now we have the Emes coming out. That Nekuda Pnimis is now free to, so to speak, take over man. And now man becomes a manifestation of his Emes. And hence, there could be posthumous tshuva and vidui, and all this is a result of the Eish of Gehenna, which is the Eish of the Chom of the Yetzer that projected him and enticed him and lured him to do evil. That Eish now is going to clear out the Chitzonius, because man in his essence, in his Pnimius, is Emes. When the Malachim heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, then what they did was they prayed to Hashem, and Amru Lefanov, Tala Emes Min Ha'aretz. What we're hoping is that the first alternative method will be the way in which man will connect to Emes, and he will use his lifetime, his 70, 80, 90 years on this earth, to bring out Emes, to manifest, to publicize Emes, to live a life which is totally dedicated to the Emes of Torah. Tala Emes Min Ha'aretz. Let Bnei Adam face this challenge. Mortal man is capable of revealing the Nekudas Emes in the Aretz. Hopefully, during his lifetime, during his Chiyus, when he dedicates himself to Torah and to mitzvahs. But even if, Chas v'Shalom, he won't be revealing the Emes, Al Pnei Aretz, walking on the surface of the land, walking with his feet on the globe during his lifetime, then at least he can possibly reveal the Nekudas HaEmes through the depths of the earth, not above the surface of the earth, but down below the surface of the earth, through the zikuch, the cathartic purification process of the Eish of Gehenna, which, as we said before, which will remove his chitzonius and allow for the manifestation, the exposure of his pnim, his emes, which is pnima. The emes will come not from the earth above, but from the earth below. And the Medrash says, Hado d'chsiv, emes mi eretz titzmach. What does it mean, titzmach? The word titzmach comes from the world of botany, of tzomeach. When a farmer or anyone takes a seed and he plants it in the ground, the act of Zriya sets off a chain response. The first response is that these garinim, these seeds, become rotten. But ultimately, as a result of Ashrosha, when they take root deep down below the surface of the earth, they're olim b'tzmicha, they produce vegetation, and they fill up the entire field with beautiful produce, whether it be grains, whether it be fruits, whatever it might be. And this is really a mashal for the Rishayim, for those who unfortunately were nichshal. They were not able to reveal the emes. On the contrary, they fell prey to the chom, the heat of passion of the moment of the Yetzer Hara, as long as they were alive. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu plants them underneath the ground, b'mamakei ha'adama, in Gehenom. And posthumously, they can now rectify every one of those pogamim by virtue of the Eish of Gehenom that burns the Chitzonius, that very same Eish that projected them to sin. And they can reveal Moshe Emes v'Toraso Emes, and therefore, Emes mi Eretz Tismach. There will be a growth process, a production process of Emes from the earth itself, when the Rishonim will declare Moshe Emes, Yafadanta, and so forth and so on. Now, this will answer another question that we raised in the last shiur, and that is that twice in the parsha of Korach, the Adoso, the Torah says, "Upotzisa Ha'adama espiyah v'tiftach ha'aretz espiyah. Why the word peh, the mouth of the earth? And the answer now becomes clear. The whole purpose of the earth swallowing up Korach and his assembly and taking them down to Sheol and into Gehenom is in order to cathartically purify and remove, burn out, so to speak, the chelak hara, that part of the, you know, that disease cells, so to speak, of evil, the blemish of the avonos, to burn that all out, so that we could reveal the pnimius, that nekuda, that nitzos pnimi, which is pure and untouched, of Yaakov, you know, the mid of emes, the emes that's miskayim liolim ad. And how is this going to happen? Through the act of Vatiftach Ha'aretz Espiha. The Vatiftach Ha'aretz Espiha is the coal that comes from the Aretz, from deep below the ground level, the subterranean coal of Moshe Emes, Vitoroso Emes. That is the declaration of Korach. That is the Vatiftach Ha'aretz Espiyah, the kol that's going to reveal the true pnimius of even a Jew that went far, far into his rebellion and is still connected to Yaakov Avinu, to the Emes of Yaakov, such that he could declare Moshe Emes, B'toros Emes. That's Vatiftach Ha'aretz Espiha. And in conclusion, we could say the following: what limud do we derive from this parsha of Korach v'Adoso, and especially the punishment which Moshe prayed for and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, tzadik goes there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayim? This is a message for all of us. First of all, again, as we have to understand the nature of the punishment of the Eish of Gehenna and its purpose, and it's really part of a divine compassion. Secondly, to understand why Yaakov Avinu prayed so hard that his name should be omitted, and the insights of the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, that Korach is still connected to that Shoresh of Yaakov, which was unblemished. All that is critical. But perhaps the message for us is the message of Tala Eretz, Tala Emes min Ha'aretz. We are at a crossroads. Every time the fire of the Yetzer Hara threatens us and tries to overwhelm us, if we, Chas V'Shalom, succumb to those fires of the passion of the Yetzer Hara, then those same fires will punish us after death. Why go through that experience of Gehenna when there's another great option? At every opportunity, take advantage with full faith of the declaration Moshe Emes v'Toras Emes. Connect to the Emes of Torah. Don't let the fires of the Yetzer, which will ultimately, if you succumb to them, become the fires of the Gehenom. Don't let them overwhelm you. Instead, connect to Emes. Connect to the Nekuda Primus that's within you. And I say you, meaning every single individual. That Nitzot Eloki, the Shorash HaNesham that we spoke about, the Emes of Yaakov. If we'll connect to that, with that Chibur, to that Nekuda Primus of Yaakov, in the mid of Emes, will be zoche to save ourselves and spare ourselves from the din of Gehenna, from the Eish of Gehenna. We won't have to yell out from the Eish, Moshe Emes v'Toros Emes. Let's take advantage of our life. And during this period of life, we should declare Moshe Emes v'Toros Emes. We should reconnect and always remain connected with a tremendous chibur, a kesher shel kayama, to the nekuda primus of the Emes of Yaakov Avinu. And in that light, within the perspective of that commitment to the Emes of Torah, the Emes of Yaakov, of Moshe Emes v'Toros Emes, we will be spared from all the punishments. We will be able to take the Eretz and the Emes, the Eretz Titzmach of above surface, not Chas V'Shalom, the Emes Titzmach from below the surface, from the bowels of the earth, when we suffer Chas V'Shalom, the Eish of Gehenna. that fear that we have of the Eish of Gehenna is a very powerful and meaningful message for us of Sur Meira. It should project us to Asay Tov. And if we can constantly, at every opportune moment, declare Moshe Emes, V'Torosa Emes, and really link ourselves up through an unbroken chain all the way back to our father Yaakov Avinu, who is Titein Emes LeYaakov, then in Mirtz Hashem we'll be protected from all evil. We'll be able to bring about the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reveal the Emes, when He brings the Mashiach and the ultimate Geula and Tchias HaMeisim, B'mheira V'yomeinu Amen.